Here we go. Here we go. Take your Bible, turn to any of Paul's books. Take your pick. And go to the last couple of verses in there. And you'll see that he has a goodbye, or they call that a salutation, or a go-your-way-tation. What do they call that? Salutation when they leave? Salutation? And you'll see that he's always saying something like, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. He always has that when he's done with his people, done with Colossians, done with the church of Thessalonica, whatever, and all those different people he talked to, the church of Ephesus. He always, when he leaves, grace be with you kind of a thing. So, just notice that. I guess I haven't checked it out exactly. I think he's done. I don't. If you find a book that he doesn't end it that way, let me know. Somewhere in the last couple of verses. I'd never looked it up other than a couple of quickies. Grace be with thee and Timothy. Grace. Philemon, grace be with you all. So, at least you know when I'm leaving, I'm not saying God throw the book at him. You know, anything like that. And I don't want you to say the same thing. Lord, let him get a halfway up Cabbage Hill and have the van slide off the trailer. Don't think things like that. Because if it happens, I will not let you know. Other than, Louie, can you come and help us, the truck? But let's go to Romans 16. We're going to go through each book this morning and tonight. And we're going to see how Paul says goodbye. This is what I would call a Paul goodbye. And he ought to leave us with some pretty good challenging challenges for each one of us, or some comments that should be good for us to hear when he's done in Romans chapter 16, for example. I'll go down to verse 25. And he says, look at verse 24, there's the grace of all our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Then he says, amen. But then he says, now to him that is of power, establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all the nations for the obedience of faith. There's a ton of stuff in those two verses. And I'm hoping if I've left you with a few things, it's that grammar thing. You know, you sit down and you start that verse out in verse 25, and you start drawing lines. You guys know the drawn line thing, the diagrammy thing. Austin, remember, you guys never did get into that? Well, shame on you, Mom. You get into it just for a couple minutes. Because I start off right off the bat with a shame on you, Mom. I didn't mean to do that. But notice it's just like clauses and phrases. And he's got one point he's making from 25, 26, and 27. Can you see somewhere in there what he's going to say? Because he finished in verse 24. He said goodbye in 24. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. He's done. But he says in verse 27 what? There's two words down that the 25 and 26 and 27 are alluding to. Be glory. To God only wise, be glory. That whole thing. Now with that in mind, let's read that thing. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, there's Paul's influence right there with his preaching, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, that's Paul again. Then he's got these little clauses or whatever, phrases or whatever, referring back to the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, and here's another one, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, here's another one, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. The whole thing is about faith, not baptism. He says, to God only wise, what? Be glory through Jesus Christ forever. So he wishes his people grace, and then he goes on and he makes sure that God is the one that's going to get the glory here. So his goodbye here is for God to get the glory. That simple. The only way that he can get the glory is through us being the Christians we need to be, and that is only learned through Paul's gospel. It is not learned from the Gospels. It's not learned from the Beatitudes. It's not learned from the Sermon on the Mount. It's not learned by having some kind of extra terrestrial, godly wisdom and knowledge from the heart, because we know that went out with the Bible being printed. Now God speaks through His book. And with that, God would get His glory here. So He still gets His glory here. And for us to make the trip, that God get the glory. And I'll have to remember that if the van does fall off the trailer, the first thing I need to do is get out of the van and say, well, praise God. Which I've never been good at that. And I'll say, look at how far down that van's going to fall before it actually goes off the road. We'll just get in a car, truck, and keep going the other way. Buy a van in Ohio, I guess, or a Volkswagen or something. So, He wants God to get the glory. And He's going to get the glory because you're going to go through the Paul's Gospel, verse 25. Now, to me, this verse 25 is a huge verse, because it says, now to Him that is of power to establish, you're going to be established, you're going to be set, established according to My Gospel. That's Paul. And for those that have any doubt, he also says, and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Well, there it is, Jesus Christ. Yes, but don't forget, it says, according to the revelation of the mystery. That's the preaching of Jesus Christ according to Paul. I'm going to bury that one more time, because that's what needs to be stated today. And what's going on in church, I'll say it again, is what's going on in churches today is wrong. Nice people, nice pastors, nice buildings, nice budgets, nice savings account. Sorry, LD. but it's wrong. Because it's supposed to be according to Paul's gospel and according to the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery. Ephesians chapter 2 and Ephesians chapter 3. That is all Paul. Now, I know there's a lot of variations and different little things happening with Paul, the tweaking of Paul all over the place, and we'll get into that this morning. So just because somebody says they're following Paul could be very dangerous. I told you, it could be very dangerous to this church. But I wish people would see that. It says in verse 26, but now is made manifest. That's Paul. And what should be made known to all nations? Obedience of faith. And what is it that they say in all the churches when they baptize? Why do you need to get baptized? We need to have obedience to baptism. It doesn't say that anywhere in that Bible. The obedience is to faith. The only place you're going to find faith properly taught is through Paul. Not Peter, not John, but Paul. So there's how he ends Romans. That says goodbye to Romans. Look at 1 Corinthians 16. Let's see how this one ends. Repent, made it yet? Okay, they're still on the road. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15. Now, I'll do good to get by this one. This was a good one for me, in a way. I get to share it with you. That's the first time I've used share on purpose. I think it might be the first time I use the word share. So we'll strike that from the record, LD, later. Verse 15. I beseech you, brethren, parentheses, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, parentheses, that ye submit yourselves unto such. What's the such? Well, you got to go back to 15. Now look at 15 really close. He says, they have addicted themselves to the ministry. And in the past couple of years, I've preached that, and I didn't finish that out, which is what you do when you kind of leave it out, I suppose. Maybe it was just something to be left to today. But I'm having a horrible time leaving. Absolutely horrible. I know we need to go. That's not a problem. I know the ministry out there is going to be tough and it's going to be hard. I've never lived on a missionary support thing. It's scary. The health, the insurance, the food, I mean, all the stuff that we are concerned about fleshly-wise. But I haven't even thought about that yet. The house has been taken care of. The move will be taken care of. I can't even get out of here. Why is that? This is why. I have a problem. I'm not addicted to the ministry. I'm addicted to you folks. You see that there? Addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That's the being involved with the people. And I know there's going to be criticisms and complaints. There always will be. I figure my name will be trashed in the next couple of weeks. I understand all that. I really do. And you can pick your sides like some already have, and whatever's going to happen. But I want you to know that it's an addiction that I'm trying to break. I don't think I can forget you. That's not my desire. I want to stay in touch somehow. Website. And who knows how, you know how it is when you leave and all that stuff. Everybody says all these wonderful things. 3 weeks later, Mike who? You know. I understand that. I mean, that's fine. You know. Olivia married who? You got to be kidding. And stuff like that, you know. Austin's a fighter for the Air Force? Really? A jet pilot? Stuff like that. You know, Scott's got how many more kids? You know, stuff like that. So there's an addiction. And it's like I say, it's the longest place we've ever stayed. And I was reading that again last night, realized I'm addicted to the ministry of the saints. Now here's the hard part. I don't mean it to be. Verse 16. That ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. Now, I have no complaints. I don't dare get in anything like that. I don't want to do anything like that. But Dave, whoever it is that comes up here and does whatever they can, preaching Paul or teaching whatever, Paul says to submit yourself to that person. Not in a pastoral final authority basis. Not in a check with him before you buy your car basis. Who's on there, Sam? Okay. Don't check with him. Don't have to check with your pastor to see if you should have moved or not, because if they had, they wouldn't have, and they wouldn't be in the messes they're in. really. So I'm not talking about that. But there are Paul people that help, and they labor. Then he goes on to verse 17. To make sure that we understand verse 16, he says, I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaeus. And here's why. For that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. That was supposedly my job. Addicted to you folks, the ministry of you folks, and to supply what was lacking on your part, which is just preparation for the judgment seat of Christ. That's why when we go to Hebrews 13, or people go to Hebrews 13, that's not written to us, because, see, I'm not really all that concerned about your soul. I hope you haven't got another Jesus. I hope you haven't been duped. And when you were younger, grabbed another Jesus and don't realize it yet, maybe that's partly why the Bible still doesn't make sense, or why you still have problems with the way things are here. Maybe that's why some people left. I have no idea. It's not my call to make, but it's a possibility. Maybe somebody just doesn't have the right Christ. But we're concerned here about your judgment seat, your works. That's why a church is not, in Paul's design of a church in Ephesians chapter 4, it's not designed to bring in the lost. This church better be designed to feed those that are saved. And if your life changes enough to serve the living God, the lost will want to go where you're being fed. That's the purpose of this local church. Now, whether you stay at the church here or break down into home studies or whatever it is, which is totally scriptural, there's no need to give up this place unless you can't keep it going. But at least warn me, okay? So, but the job here is about our works and our walk. I'm supposed to be concerned about how you look, how you appear, how you talk. I'm supposed to be aware of that. I'm supposed to stick my nose in your lives a little bit, somewhat, and see what's going on with your kids and how you're trying to do your kids. That's my job, as that was his job right there, to the ministry of the saints. And I may have done it wrong. I may have been too snoopy. I may have overdone it. I may have preached. And I've heard all the complaints and the concerns. But listen, that's the way it's supposed to be. If you need to be concerned about your walk for your works, and if you're a parent and you got young children, of course we're concerned about their souls. And our older young kids have been through so much as far as different pastors and different teachings in some respects, and now this is what's going on, and that's why God gave us a Bible. You need to be able to make this thing all, have sense of this whole thing all by yourself, really. So, just keep in mind that what Paul says at the end of Corinthians is the fact that, listen, these people are addicted to you. You know, submit yourselves unto what they have to say. Let them see what's going on. Don't hide when they come over. Don't hide the stuff when they come over. Don't listen to 5 minutes of a CD sermon, and when they come over, you can talk intelligent with the pastor. Don't be deceptive like that. Don't be a liar. Be real. And the job that Dave or Chuck, anybody comes up to this pulpit, Louis, LD, anybody that comes up to this pulpit, Scott, anybody that comes up to this pulpit, maybe Sam and Austin someday, their job is going to supply what you're lacking, based on the Bible. That's the job here. I hope you never want to do something here that's different, that would bring in your lost cousin or lost relative. That means you'll have to change your music. That means you'll have to back off in that King James Bible. That means you'll have to turn to the Greek. That means you'll have to turn to fun and fellowships more important than preaching. That means all sorts of things. That means you'll have to bring your coffee bar from the kitchen up to here. That means you'll probably have to put a spiral staircase up to the top and put some kind of a store up there with stuff. I mean, this is what you do to get people to come to your church. You know, rent your building out to the community and be part of the... Do everything you can to have favor with all the people. And that's not the biblical design of the church. And you are reading, if you're reading any spiritual magazines or religious magazines whatsoever, everybody's talking about the church is dying in America. I mean, they're all figuring this thing out. They just don't have the right solution. They're changing their music, all the stuff we've listed. They're backing off on the hardcore preaching. They're bringing in Bible psychology. They're actually teaching psychology to your old nature, to your flesh. They're trying to make your old nature better. And you're supposed to be a new creature. And you're supposed to put on Jesus Christ, and that'll change things. Now you can serve the living God. Well, nobody wants to do that. Oh, well, you do. That's what you've been taught. And in the meantime, the devil who wants to stop Paul is doing a really good job of stopping Paul. The women are deceived and the men are lazy. Bottom line. And he's going to get the kids because of that. So that's I read that last night. And I'm looking at that, thinking, boy, that I like that. That should help me drive away, knowing I have to break an addiction that I have to you people personally. That'll be hard. So if I'm bouncing around in the truck from door to door, you'll know why. Really don't want to go, but I know I can't stay. One of those rock and a hard place deals. Okay, so enough of that. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Hope that makes sense to you. You're my drug. You're my cigarette. Put a little fire on the tip and the thing catches on fire and starts smoking and I'm in big trouble, unhealthy. And I guess I can't go there, huh? I wouldn't do that thing. I guess I could say you're my drink. Can't do that. But anyway. No, I'm addicted to you folks, personally. And if it goes the other way, if you're addicted to me, I'm sorry, because I want you to be addicted to your Bible. Not to me. Next guy comes in here, can preach the Bible as good, if not better, than I can. I remember 13 years ago, I said, Lord, I'll just preach what you teach me. And I tried, and some of them were really scary, really hard to preach, but that's the promise I made. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, let's look at verse 1. He said, this is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. See, now there that says it doesn't have to be two or three witnesses. What is that? You told them two or three times. It's not two or three people. Just you told them two or three times. I told you before and foretell you as if I were present the second time. And being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other that if I come again, I will not spare. That's good. If read that Bible again. Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. That's good. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he lived by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. Isn't that a powerful verse there? Christ was weak, but yet he lived by the power of God. We're weak. How are we going to continue? How are you personally going to continue? How am I personally going to continue? How is my wife going to personally continue? As weak as we are today? Through the power of God. Toward us. Toward you, it says. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you? Except ye be reprobates. Have you got that nailed down? But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. And it's an amazing thing, because people look to Paul's teaching like he's a reprobate. Right? I mean, they just don't want to hear about Paul. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil. Another reason they hate Paul's teachings, because Paul actually teaches us how to walk like a Christian. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. That's our flesh. So he's saying, quit playing the game. If you're going to follow Paul, follow Paul. Look at Timothy. Look at Titus. If you're still wearing stuff you know you ought not wear, if you're still talking like you ought not talk, if you're still going places you ought not go, and you're still showing things you ought not show, and you're watching things you ought not watch, then get a hobby. Get something to replace it. Get something to fight the battle for you. And make the change. When somebody asks you why you are wearing what you're wearing, or why you are doing what you're doing, or why won't you go do something, don't tell them, I've got a headache. Don't tell them, I don't think I have enough gas. Don't tell them, I think I've got cankles. Don't tell them, you know, tell them the truth. What an opportunity to pop a little witness in there that I don't do that. I don't wear that nicely as you can, because you know they're going to be judged. They're going to feel judged. You know they're going to think you're picking at them. But I don't do that. I don't want to do that. And how can you say that? Well, you're living to serve the risen God, right? And you don't want to just claim grace and then go do it. Work together with Him. We talked about that last week. You've got the grace, but it's not the grace to... Well, I don't have to tell Him, no, I can go do this because I've got God's grace. That's not the purpose of grace. You know me, I've never been big on the fun and fellowship thing, because I saw more flesh and more bad attitudes and more anger and more pouts and more frustrations and more criticisms and... things that just was hard for me to watch. Like, where's your grace? Well, I had the grace because we had more fellowship, but it was tough. And I'm not being judgmental or critical when I say that sort of a thing. I know we're growing, we're learning, and some people don't understand this where we talk about things. So I've had to learn that. That's been my weakness. I'll admit that. But we don't want to just look like we're the Christian. You know that stuff about modesty in Timothy, not only does it say just about modesty in general, there's three parts of modesty. Covering the flesh, being quiet, and not usurping authority over a man. That's a modest woman. What it talks about a man should be, in Titus. It's not just a macho, wife-abusing, lazy man. Your family is your responsibility. So there's a lot of things that we could learn to do, and yet we could just keep coming here and appearing approved. And yet I have to say in the last couple of years, last couple of months, last couple of weeks, last couple of days, I'm starting to see now that some don't even appear approved. Really? Based on what Paul preaches. We're living in a day where things are going down. Standards are going down. We're getting frustrated. Remember in Jeremiah, one of the things that the voice of gladness will go away as we get nearer and nearer to the tribulation. There's a lot of gladness in America that's gone. There's a lot of joy. Our country is going down, and we're finding out that we've been addicted to our country. We're addicted to money. I mean, and whenever I complain and get concerned about our money situation, I try to remember what it must be like to be 80 years old and your 401k disappeared. It's just gone. I can't imagine the shock that must have been. Now what do we do? So we don't want to appear. It says, do that which is honest. Verse 8. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. The truth exists. It's there. For we are glad when we are weak, and ye are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness. Can you imagine what Paul would say to us if he could talk to us here? He gave us his book, he gave us his writings. Can you imagine what Paul would talk to us if he took us through Romans chapter 5 and 6 and 7 and 8? He wrote it in a manner that it says right there, for our edification and not to destruction. He says if he was present, he would use sharpness. But he doesn't want to destroy, he wants to edify. And again, I'm sure there's many times where I destroyed instead of edified. But you've got a book, you can deal with it. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort. Be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. That's his farewell. I haven't the slightest idea how to preach verse 12. I don't think anybody does. Greet one another with a holy kiss. One of the first things I did when I got here was to get you people to quit hugging. Don't go back to it. You've got a husband, you've got a wife that needs to be hugged. That's the one you can hug. Don't be hugging anybody else. Anyway, let's go to Galatians chapter 6. So evaluate yourself there. He says, examine yourself. Don't do it to look good. Be the Christian you know you want to be. And stand up, whether it be your family, your friends, your parents, your neighbors, your sisters, church members. Galatians chapter 6, verse 15. Let's go to verse 16. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. Okay, we go back, 16, we go back to as many as walk according to this rule. What is this rule? We go back in verse 15. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. You go back to verse 15, and I see religion there. You either have those that are circumcised, which is the law, or you've got those that are not circumcised, the uncircumcised. That'd be the Gentile. That's the world. But what we need to be is we need to be that new creature. And if you walk according to that new creature, which again takes us to Paul's books about the walk, Timothy and Titus, Thessalonians, Romans has some things in there, Ephesians, there's all sorts of things in Paul's writings that deal with the walk. If we walk according to the new creature, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. Now, it's not going to be easy because you've got people in here that criticize each other because of something somebody says or does or whatever. And you're probably right. But let's just make sure that you're walking like a new creature. Don't worry about somebody else. Then he says in verse 17, from henceforth, from this point on, from henceforth, let no man trouble me. For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Paul's been through it. And up to this point, and since the years I've been here, you folks have been through some battles. And you've got marks of serving the risen Savior through Paul. Whether it's a child or a teenager that's not interested, or made some changes in their lives, it goes against what you preach and teach, and they put it on Facebook, and the whole world knows it. That's a mark on you as a parent or as a pastor. You've got the marks. You've had people in the community talk about you, and it hurts. You've got relatives you wish you couldn't be around because they're hurting you. Those are the marks that you've all got for trying to follow Paul and by sticking to this church. Just the fact that you go to this church in this community in Walla Walla, that's a mark against you right there. Right? Where do you go to church? Touche Baptist Church. Where do you go to church? Touche Baptist Church. No. Don't you go to Touche Baptist Church? I've seen you at that fair booth. That's a mark. I still wish we had that billboard up there. I was one of my things I really hated to let go. But, so there's that one. Walk according to this rule, and that's to be a new creature. If you're truly saved, then we should be doing some things differently than the world does. We really should. And I'll say it because I'm leaving. You can't fire me. There is no such thing as a Christian swimming suit. I just have to tell you that. I'm just going to say it. Remember the days I used to duck when I say things like that? I'm sorry. There is no such thing as a Christian swimming suit. You can get Christian swimming suit catalogs, and I look at them and I go, you got to be kidding. Okay, put on a t-shirt. Well, you can go down to the local bar. They do that down there. That's a tough issue, isn't it? That's a hard issue. Very hard. Anyway, that's a mark. That's a mark. Okay. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. One of the nice things of getting older is it doesn't become an issue, does it? The swimsuit thing. It's kind of like, nah, if I go to the beach, it's head and sandals, it's or shoes and socks and jeans and a kumu or a I'm just covered because you don't want to get the skin thing. But it's hard. I know it's hard. What do you do, I guess? I don't know. Strength is God's grace. Ephesians chapter 6. How are we doing for time? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 23. Now, when I say Ephesians, do you have enough thinker going up there that you recognize some things that are in Ephesians? Mystery, revelation of the mystery, the joint heir, reconciliation, all sorts of stuff in Ephesians. Look at verse, we'll go to the end here. Let's look at verse 23. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So I like that. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith. With faith. From God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our God, Lord Jesus Christ, in sincerity. Now, amen. You've heard people say, well, doesn't matter who your God is, just love Him in sincerity. Just be sincere. They're good Catholic, good Methodist, good Lutheran, good Baptist. No, that's not what that says. Love our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul narrows it down to who Jesus Christ is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He talks about Him. He's the related from David, the whole lineage and the whole thing. He pins Him down, who it is. Allah is not the one. If you just do Allah with all sincerity, you go to hell when you die. Now that probably just put a mark on your church building. If anybody gets that out there, come burn the place down, I suppose. But you can love the unknown God with all sincerity and be in hell sincerity wise. So grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Be real. Be sincere. Don't hide behind anything. Let's do one more. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Look what he says at the end of Philippians. Repent, make it on there yet? Philippians chapter 4. These are just Paul's goodbyes. These are the last things he's telling these churches. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. Now, this is going to make it sound like I came up with this on my own, but I want you to know we're going to look at all the books at the end. One of the things he talks about is providing needs for somebody going with what we're trying to do, my wife and I. So I just want you to know, I don't like to talk about that stuff. You folks have always taken good care of us. You've been good to us. No complaints there. But here's what he does tell Philippians here. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. See, right now, you're the only church that's promised us support as far as a church goes. We've got some very good promises from our website family. And if they continue, it'll be great. It'll be marvelous. That's the fear. But what he's talking about here is this. When I first started this thing, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. So they helped him. Not just one time, but another time. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now I have to sound all churchy, pastoral, and missionary piety, because that is true. When you help us go over there and we get this thing started and we're talking to people, Susie's son, Jason, if y'all remember him back at the nursing home, he's in the military and everything. He's over in Kentucky and he's made mention he wants to come up and see us before he goes off to Iraq. And he's been getting some things going to this Bible. There's people down there. There's some other people that said they want to come over. It's almost like we're moving to a point where the website will be more active physically. We're talking about having a fall Bible conference in Salina again. We might go down to Kentucky. I've never been to Kentucky. Wow. And they have a Bible conference down there for the website folks that are in that area. Maybe we can go down a little bit. Let's see here. Go down to Kentucky. We go down into Tennessee. Maybe the folks down in Louisiana and Mississippi can come up and we can meet with them. We go over into the North Carolina area. We could have Fred and Floyd's and Clarence. We can get together with them. So it's like this is a very good, strong possibility for the website family to really come tight. And I'm going to recognize what it's like to see how far the Northwest is from this whole country. Do you know that we are far from everybody? We're not near anybody out here. That's always been hard. So there's a ministry that's going to be taking place out there. And it's going to cost money. You know that story. You've heard it 1,000 times. And you will get fruit from that, based on what Paul teaches here, if you provide for that. It's a long ways to send meat, though, Lewis. I don't think you're going to be able to pull that off. Lamb or whatever. And we get this box with freeze ice. What do you call that? Ice? dry ice smoke coming out of the package. We may have the police from Salina all over the house for that thing. But he desires a gift in verse 17, but it's to desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Remember I said that girl, Adriana, sent her babysitting money to help us get over there? That's a sacrifice, knowing her situation with her dad. That's quite a sacrifice. That's what these things are. We've received $25 checks, $50 checks. I know some of the folks, that I know them enough, I think, that that's hard to come up with that. We received the other day $2,300 from somebody. $300. It's amazing. So this little stretch right here means a lot more to me now than it ever has. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Then you've got the brethren that say, well, here's why you're not getting what you need, because you're out of faith, you've quit, you've done something wrong. You shouldn't have made the move. I mean, all that will probably come flying eventually too. Because we have a couple of needs I don't think will be met. I have no idea how they can be met. Do we have to have 100% need fulfilled before it's of God? Or is it a need? I believe it's a need, but it's not possible to be met. So I guess I'll look at that verse and I'll see how God handles that sort of thing. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. In glory. His riches are in glory. That's a very important thing by Christ Jesus. Let's stop and take a break, and we'll come back for some more of these things. More of the goodbyes from Paul.